Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, The Killing of the Demon Putana, text number 20, has no purport, so we'll just read the translation. The child was thoroughly washed with cow urine and then smeared with the dust raised by the movements of the cows. And different names of the Lord were applied with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body, beginning with the forehead, as done in applying tilak. This way the child was given protection. Text 21. Kopya sansprishta salila. Angeshu karayo pritak. Nyasyatman yatta balasya. Bidanasam akorvata. Gopya, the gopis, sanspriṣṭa salila, touching a cup of water and drinking, angeshu, on their bodies, karyo, on their two hands, pritak, separately. Nyasya, after placing the letters of the mantra, Atmani, on their own, Ata, then, Balasya, of the water, of the child, Vija Nyasam, the process of mantra Nyasa, Akoravata, executed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The gopis first executed the process of achman. Drinking a sip of water from the right hand, they purified their bodies and hands with the Nyasa mantra, and then applied the same mantra upon the body of the child. Purport. Nyasa mantra includes achmana, or first drinking a sip of water kept in the right hand. There are different Vishnu mantras to purify the body. The gopis, and in fact any householders, knew the process for being purified by chanting Vedic hymns. The gopis executed this process first to purify themselves, then to purify the child Krishna. One executes the process of Anga, Nyasa, and Kara, Nyasa simply by drinking a little sip of water and chanting the mantra. The mantra is preceded with the first letter of the name, followed by the Anusvara and the word Namaha. Ain Namo Jas Tavangri Avat Avyat Mam Mano Ma nimams tava januni avyat, and so on. By losing Indian culture, Indian housewives have forgotten how to execute the Anga Nyasa and are simply busy in sense gratification without any advanced knowledge of human civilization. The word mantra comes from Sanskrit. Man means mind, and tra means to deliver. Like we have kshatriya. Shat means heart, hurt, and tra means deliver from hurt. So a kshatriya is one who delivers one from hurt, and a mantra is one which delivers the mind. According to the Bhagavad Gita, that Urvam gachiti sattvastam adi tishtati rajasa tukanya priti. Udrar atmanatmanam atmanam avasarayat admaiva yatmano bandura admaiva ripur atmanaha bandura atmanas tasya yevatmanatmanap spichita anatmanastu shatru vevartaita maiva shatru dva Titatmana prasantasya paramatmasmaita shitoshna sukudugeshu tatamana pamanayo. Then a man has to elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the mind can be the friend of his conditioned soul and his enemy as well. One who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, the very mind will be the greatest enemy. One who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So the aim of human life is to conquer the mind. But what does it mean to conquer the mind? Well, the mind has certain enemies, such as the mode of passion, ignorance. Generally speaking, we don't really consider our mind as our enemy. We consider our mind as ourselves. So how can it be our enemy? When the mind says sleep, immediately we close our eyes and obey it, because this is what we're made for. This is our purpose in life, is to serve the mind wherever it takes us. But actually, the mind, as explains in the Bhagavad Gita, is what's covering the consciousness, our consciousness. And because it's covering our consciousness, we don't actually perceive reality, which is actually very nice. Reality is very nice, and every time reality gets covered by material energy, our perception is not very good. Therefore, indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchate etaravi mohajatyesha gyanam aritidehyam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are covered by lust, which veils the actual knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. And Prabhupada writes in the purport of that particular verse that one has to know where the enemy is so we can conquer it, namely lust. So it's lust within the mind, which is our enemy. And the Bhagavad Gita, that's what it mostly deals with, besides telling us Krishna is God. It's telling us the fact how to get free from lust. And in that particular purport, Prabhupada writes that actually everything begins with hearing. We've spent lifetimes of hearing about how wonderful sense gratification is. Even the birds are talking about how wonderful the worm is that they had last night. And every living entity is hearing constantly the glories of sense gratification. And as the mind becomes absorbed in hearing the glories of sense gratification, then the senses become agitated, because the senses and the mind are intimately connected with each other. And they always want to experience what the mind is hearing, the glorifications of it. If we tell you, as I said last night, that Lalita Govinda's ice cream is the best, and it's only served on Monday, on Sunday, isn't that right? More or less. So then we look forward to Sunday. We mark it in our candle, in our mind at least, because it's been proclaimed as great, a great experience, and we want to experience everything that's good. So then comes Sunday, the sense, the mind will tell us it's time, and the sense will go get it, see what it's like. The tongue will demand, the mind will demand, and if we forget, they'll remind us. We may forget Krishna, but we won't forget the ice cream on Sunday. And if we like it, the mind will say, go for it. Go for more. Don't stop. You got a good thing going. So the senses will become agitated, but the soul needs intelligence in order to fulfill its desire. It has to know what time Lalita Govinda is going to serve the ice cream, so it has to inquire. It has to make arrangements. It has to move the body from one place to the next. It has to make sure that we're there right at the front of the line. So much planning in order to serve the senses. So as I said before, such planning can be used in Krishna's service and it can be used in Maya's service. As I mentioned in the example before, a man is walking down the street and he sees an attractive woman. And the mind says, she's it. Go for her. She's the one. And the intelligence says, wait a second. She has a man walking next to her. It might be her husband. Besides that, she has this red dot on her forehead. And I think it means something. I think I heard about that somewhere. And the intelligence says, oh, forget it. That's old-fashioned. No one believes in that anymore. There's only one thing to do and one thing not to do, according to the Weed Purana. If it feels good, then you do it. And if it doesn't feel good, then don't do it. There's one rule and regulation. So, now it's up to the soul to figure out. The soul may think, well, I read some book last year, Bhagavad something, and it says this is not a good idea. Whatever it said, I can't remember, but anyhow, the intelligence says, beep, beep, it might not be a good idea. So now it's up to the soul to decide. On one side, it has the demands of the senses, and the other side, it has a little bit of intelligence, what's good and what's bad. Now it must decide. Now, if it doesn't have very much information, it may get swayed. We'll just go for it. So then the soul has to inquire from the intelligence, because the soul always can't do anything independently. It must understand what to do from the intelligence, either material or spiritual. So the soul tells the intelligence, think of a plan how to meet her. So the intelligence comes out with a plan, types into ChatGPT how to meet her, and it comes up with a plan. Write her a letter. Tell her she's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And small little print, make sure I put in the last 2 weeks, to be honest. Tell her you're madly in love with her. You can't live without her. That she should meet you in such and such place at such and time. And you'll give her the sun and the moon. If she's really nice to you, you'll throw in a couple extra stars. But don't sign the letter. Because that man walking next to you, her, next thing, is twice as big as you are. So that's called material intelligence. On the other hand, spiritual intelligence, if someone sees a man or woman walking down the street, then the spiritual intelligence says, go up to them and give them a Bhagavad Gita and a Krishna book. Tell them they're the most amazing couples you've seen in the last 2 weeks. Tell them this book will give you the moon and the stars, and if you get you throw in a little extra money, we'll give you it'll give you the sun and the moon. And if you throw in a little extra, we'll give you a couple extra stars. So activity is there, intelligence is there. The question is what we're doing the activity for. Either be directed by the senses and the mind, or directed by the intelligence being utilized to satisfy the senses and the mind, their demands, or being utilized to satisfy the instructions of Krishna. So a mantra is actually a prayer that we should take shelter of Krishna, Krishna's instructions, have Krishna's association, which is the ultimate purpose of the mantra, is to be in Krishna's association, and that means under the spiritual energy. Daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya diratya, mam eva ye prapadente, mayam etam tarantite. That the material nature is very difficult to overcome. It's not possible to overcome it. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. So what does Krishna say, taking shelter? Ultimately he says that, well, he says many things in Bhagavad Gita, but one of the things he says, is he talks about the demons. They never take shelter of him. What do they take shelter of? Asram Bhavam Ashitya. What Tanaham Dvishita Kuran? Samsareshu Naranamam Shipram Yajasram Ashubam Asri Shiva Yonishu. That those who are envious and mischievous. If you're envious, you're going to be mischievous. Envious means, I don't believe in Krishna, I don't follow Krishna's instructions, and then you have to be mischievous. Whatever you do is going to be mischievous. Isn't that what it says in that same chapter? Asatyam apratishtam te jagara horanishwaram aparashparam sambhutyam kemanya kama haitukam. They say the world is unreal. Don't worry about what's going on here. It's just unreal. It's just phantasmagoria, changing of the different elements, and don't worry. It has no foundation, has no God in control, it produces sex desire, and has no other cause than lust. The whole idea of the material energy, because there's no God, there's no purpose of life, just enjoy whatever you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. So that's the philosophy of the demons. And everything they do is etam drishtim avashtavya, because they don't know what the purpose is, and they couldn't care less what the purpose is. They're blind, and therefore, whatever they do is simply causing problems for themselves and everyone else, because they're taking everyone else away from the goal of life, namely, to become aware of Krishna, to come under the internal energy of Krishna, so the soul can get some spiritual nourishment. The soul is dying due to its lack of spiritual nourishment, and Krishna is the source of all that nourishment. Therefore, those who are envious and mischievous, envious of Krishna, the whole world is envious, what to speak of Krishna? We see someone has one extra samosa than we do, we get disturbed. Why does this man have another samosa? What did he do to deserve it? And we feel envious of some poor devotee who has one more samosa than we do. What to speak of the Supreme Person? How much more will it become disturbed? He doesn't have an extra samosa. He has extra Vaikuntha planets, and he won't share it with me. There's so many of them, why doesn't he give me one too? Or he has millions of gopis, let him. Why should I have one or two extra myself? And therefore everything they do is mischievous. So of course, for the conditioned soul to hear this is in itself disturbing, that the process is so difficult. I always have to remember Krishna and never forget him. And as soon as I forget Krishna, I'm in Maya. This is terrible. How discouraging. What an insult to my ego. All my desires to be something important, something significant, something wonderful. He's immediately, the speaker is criticizing that as soon as I forget Krishna, I'm in Maya. But I'm always forgetting Krishna. Once in a while, I remember him. So this is difficult. But this is the reality. If we're in the light, then we're in the light. And as soon as we turn away from the light, we're in the darkness. However, and what is the symptoms of the darkness? We start imagining I'm having a good time here in the material world. This is a nice place. It's not so bad. These speakers are just exaggerating. My future is actually quite bright. I have so many plans. They're going to be wonderful. Therefore, Krishna says, Asram Bhavam Ashitya, Asram Yonim Apanam Muda Janmani Janmani Mama Prapyai Vakuntya Tato Yantyaramam Gitim. Those were the asuras I perpetually cast down into the lower species of life. So we may imagine everything's going great, everything is wonderful, I got everything I wanted, and even more. I'm taking 100 euro notes and burning them to light my cigar. Things are fantastic. But next moment I'm a mouse in the same house. What happened? I thought I was guaranteed to go to heaven. I gave my 50 euros to the church. They promised me. So yes, I took birth in the church as a mouse, a church mouse. Therefore Krishna says, Trividam narakasidam dvaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tatalovas tasmadetam trayam tejet. There are three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. So no matter how much we imagine ourselves to be in a good position, we are in a good position if we're aware of Krishna's instructions. If we're not aware of Krishna's instructions, at least if we're searching out Krishna's instructions, either through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, so then this is auspicious. If we're inquiring, Tadvidi Prani Patena, Pari Prashnena Sevaya. If we're inquiring, what should I do right now and under my present circumstances to serve Krishna? Then we're safe. Because then we're serving not lust, anger, or greed, we're serving Krishna. And as soon as we forget that, before an activity, if we don't inquire, what does Krishna want me to do? And then wait for the answer. Not that, Krishna, you didn't say anything. Sorry, I don't have time to listen to the answer. I got to do so many things. Send me an email, I'll read it tomorrow. No, we have to consider carefully what is Krishna. What is the best thing to become Krishna conscious? What is the most important thing I should do right now to become Krishna conscious? And then at least the best thing that's within our brain, within our memory, within our possibility, Krishna will actually tell us where to come from. Like Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, one should organize one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day one cannot help but think about Krishna. And the Lord's instruction, when the Lord's promises that one who does that, he'll go back to Krishna. So if that's our purpose of being in the Hare Krishna movement, is to meet Krishna, then we should do something that will remind us of what we should do at that moment to do the best thing to meet Krishna. That's the most important thing to do at that moment. And everything else, if it's in the mode of goodness, it's not so bad. But everything else is a distraction. As a matter of fact, our whole life in the material world is a distraction from Krishna. That's why we came here, is to forget Krishna. And we're doing a good job. And if we're the world's greatest ice skater, we can jump up in the air and do 35 twirls, turns, and this is the world's record, and everyone is applauding us, you've made it. But if we're not in Krishna consciousness, when we come down, we've just wasted our time. In our next lifetime, we'll become a grasshopper. And we'll be able to jump up 30 times and twirl. So the question is, what is actually our purpose of life? Tevidu swartha katim hi Vishnu. They don't know that the purpose of life is to obtain Krishna. And therefore, Nitevidu swartha katim hi Vishnu darashayam ye bahi artamana. They're choosing something to do, but it's actually compared to Krishna. Everything is insignificant. So that may take some time for us to understand that. In fact, we've been probably working on it for many lifetimes, which to speak of time, lifetimes. But we shouldn't take so many lifetimes that we're at the end of Kali Yuga, little people are chasing after us, and we think, I should have studied a little bit more. No, we have to try to understand the importance of Krishna consciousness and then try to understand how to become it, how to become Krishna conscious, how to experience Krishna. And then Krishna will help us. It's not that our little tiny brain is going to figure everything out, because that's all we have. Hopefully we have some brain left. No, as Krishna will tell us, will give us the intelligence if we ask him for it. And where is that intelligence going to come from? Tasma shastram pramanam te karya karya vivasito kyatva shastram pramanakto karma kartam iharasi. Once you know what's to be done, what's not to be done, by the regulations of shastra, knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he'll gradually become elevated. In other words, these books that Srila Prabhupada gave us, this has to guide our lives. They're all mantras. Everything in Prabhupada's books, they're all mantras. To free our mind from Maya and put it on Krishna. That's what mantra is. But it's not enough just to chant the mantra. Shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, ram, 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 ram. It's not enough to chant that mantra. No, we actually have to live according to the mantra. The mantra is alive, it's Krishna, and its service to the mantra means service to Krishna. It means to actually utilize the body, the mind, our intelligence, and Krishna's service while we're chanting the mantra. To dedicate our, of course, if we're sitting there and chanting Hare Krishna, that's perfect. It's not that we have to get up and run around, construct a building or something while we're chanting the mantra. But can we actually sit there and just chant? Can we sit there and listen to our chanting, even our own chanting? Even though the sound of our voice is the most beautiful thing in the world to us. No one's voice is sweeter than our own. But even we get bored listening to it. But if we can sit there and chant attentively and try to develop some sincerity, asking Krishna to engage in his service, then our lives will become perfect. But if we can't do that, then while we're doing other things, we should do them for Krishna also, whatever else we're doing. And all activities depend upon me. I work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So that's mantra, being conscious of Krishna. Being conscious, everything here belongs to Krishna. Therefore, it's all meant for his service. That everything should be utilized according to Krishna's directions. That's Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, not our own minds. As soon as we're not under the control of Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, our minds will direct us. And it should be done to please Krishna. Not only, all right, if I don't serve Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, Maya's going to attack me, so I got to do it, all right. I wish he wasn't there, but what can I do? It's hard to get rid of Krishna. So I guess I got to follow. No, it should be done enthusiastically. The whole idea is enthusiastically serve Krishna. Everyone's serving Krishna out of duress or out of obligation or out of knowledge. But once you try to do it out of love, then one can actually become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, the whole thing is a failure. Without doing things enthusiastically out of love, then Krishna won't reveal himself to us. And we'll simply wind up licking the bottle of honey all the time, rather than getting inside the bottle and tasting it. So all this endeavor of devotional service, finding out what Krishna wants us to do, or accepting everything belongs to Krishna, he's actually God. There's actually God here who owns everything and controls everything. And then I have to find out whatever the energies he's given at me, whatever the influence with either my body, mind, or words, how he wants me to engage them. And now I got to do it to please him, enthusiastically, with care and attention, consciously. So that's why chanting our rounds is so important. It's practice. Otherwise, who in this world would just sit there and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then 99.9% of the people think we're completely crazy. We're complete failures. We're wasting our time. Our lives are useless. Don't get near that person. You might touch them and start chanting. So why are we doing it? Because it's the best opportunity to actually do something nicely in Krishna's service. To actually do something in loving service to Krishna. To actually accept that we're Krishna's eternal loving servants. Not just his eternal servants, we can understand that intellectually, but we should be his loving servants. And if we pray to Krishna to give us some experience of what it's like to love him, then we might get enthusiastic to continue on with the process. Otherwise, the process after some time will become dull if it's just externally. We have to pray to Krishna, especially through the Maha Mantra, please give me some experience of what it's like to love you, to become conscious of you. Please reveal yourself. Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami, Bhava Dume. Because unless he does that, unless we become qualified to do it, it's all external. It's all for show. And maybe we get a little enthusiastic when someone says, oh, you sing so nicely, or you dance so nicely, or you just do this or that so nicely. That's nice. We need that encouragement. But ultimately, we have to become encouraged from within by becoming conscious of Krishna. And the gopis, the Vedic culture, here Prabhupada writes Indian culture. Indian culture, it used to be Vedic culture. Now, Indian culture means in Bombay, dungarees, jeans, and boys and girls holding hands. Indian, but that's not Indian. The real Indian culture is the Vedic culture. That's culture. So in that Indian culture, the whole idea was to become Krishna conscious. Lucky, if you took birth in Vrindavan as a gopi, you got trained up from the beginning of your life, how to become Krishna conscious. Especially since Krishna was right there, it was very easy to be Krishna conscious. And of course, they did all these things, Vishnu mantras, to protect Krishna. They loved Krishna, but they understood that Vishnu is God, and that he could protect Krishna. He could protect him. Therefore, they took shelter of Vishnu, not for their own sake, but to protect Krishna, the child Krishna, because they loved him more than anything. They only cared about Vishnu because he could protect Krishna, who they loved as the dearmost. So we take shelter of Vishnu, we take shelter of all the instructions, the Vishnu mantras and everything, because we want to protect our Krishna consciousness. We want to protect our devotional service, because this body belongs to Krishna, this mind belongs to Krishna, we belong to Krishna, and therefore we have to protect our existence for our devotional service, for the most important thing, to become Krishna conscious and to deliver Krishna consciousness to others, to teach them how to become Krishna conscious. We also have all these incarnations and avatars and instructions and everything to help us become Krishna conscious, but that's our goal, is to find out how beautiful, how loving, how wonderful is our relationship with Krishna, so that we can begin real life with Krishna again by following the process as given by Prabhupada in his books. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, how we can control mind when we sometimes can't control what we're going to hurt or see? It's easier when we see some woman with some big man when the other intelligent says, okay, this is not good to approach this woman, but like something simple like ice cream or then our intelligence is just...
Well, just add Krishna to it. Just understand that I'm eating this ice cream because it was offered to Krishna.
Yes, but not a kilo of ice cream.
Well, then when you sit, when you lie down to take rest, trying to, you go into samadhi, try to remember Krishna before you black out. Because the material nature is a self-instructing itself, the way it's arranged. If we feel that deep inside our stomach, some indication that you ate too much, then take shelter of Krishna and make a vow to Krishna, I'll eat half as much. I'll only eat 1 kilo instead of 2 tomorrow. Or when we understand that I didn't use my intelligence, I didn't take shelter of Krishna, I became greedy. I went from lust to greed to anger. So understand, it's not Krishna's fault. It's not Lalita Govinda's fault. It's my fault. And I have to use my intelligence. I have to develop it. And Krishna, the Maya, the material energy, is so kind. It's instructing me so I can become a better devotee. So we should lament a little bit, but not too much, and make a vow, try to become more determined to trace out why I did this, which devotee I offended, that caused me to become lusty and greedy and angry, and try to serve the devotees better, and try to chant my rounds better, try to do things better so that I can avoid this tomorrow, the next day. Anything else? Yes.
Hi, thanks for the lecture. My question is, what are the minimal qualifications for going back to the spiritual world?
Minimum bhava. You have to. We have to obtain the platform of bhava. And we don't go back to the spiritual world. We join Krishna's pastimes in some universe. We have the platform of bhava. Then we get trained up to come to the platform of prema. From there we get trained up so we can serve the divine couple here, so we become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we get more practice. Kala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.